I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all the tools today. We got the coach, Brandon Lundberg.
Found my whistle, man. Found it. There it
Love
is.
Love the whistle. We got the substitute, CSPN McLaughlin. Kids are out of recess. We're podcasting.
Out of recess. I got 50 minutes.
Nice. Guys, we covered yesterday that the Washington football team might be sold to Jeff Bezos this week. John Gruden reporting it loosely to a reporter, just running his mouth at one of the sports books in Vegas. And also, I'd just like to get CJ's comment on J.J. Watt missing the rest of the football season for the Arizona Cardinals and how this affects that defense.
I'm not shocked. I mean, J.J. Watt, he's missed at least 8 games in the last – in 3 out of his last 5 seasons. So it's not shocking. I mean, obviously it's still some intangibles that he brings to that team, right? Like, even though he's not on the field, that leadership in the locker room is important. And I think that's helped Arizona through the first 7 weeks of the season. You know, I mean, obviously J.J. Watt, he's great against the run. It was one point in his career he was a premier pass rusher. I think those days are gone, but he's still pretty good against the run. So coming into the year, I didn't believe in that Arizona run defense, and now it's an even more question. So I'm interested to see if Green Bay, if they, you know, really try to pound the rock on Arizona, because to me, that's the only chance that they have.
Yeah.
We will see. All right, guys. So we're going to jump right into trivia with our boy. Actually, one thing I would like to talk about real quick. It seems like the teams that were in the hunt for Deshaun Watson are backing off a little bit. Tua had a sit-down with Brian Flores, confident in his status as the quarterback. Also, the Panthers will not be seeking Watson at deadline. Does this mean that the NFL probably reached out and said, there's no chance this man plays this season, and just kind of squashed those rumors?
I think these teams got the closure. I think the NFL probably didn't say, hey, there's no chance that he's playing this year. But I think coming into the season, we already knew that. There was a precedent that was set – you know, in past years, guys who didn't even have criminal charges or any charges, you know, but they had domestic disputes or sexual assault cases, and all those guys got somewhere between 6 to 8 games. So, I mean, here's a guy that there's actually 20 charges out there, civil charges, but, I mean, he's not playing this year.
Not looking good.
I think he'll play next year, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
And also, it's funny to see Brett Favre, Captain Conservative, out there talking about against public programs, got caught up in that Mississippi welfare case and had to pay back $600,000 worth of welfare money.
Oh, yeah. I read about that a few weeks ago. Yeah. That's interesting.
Gotta love it when the people that hate it are a part of it. You know what I mean? Just classic.
It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Interestingly enough, I think he was doing ads. Or something, or he skipped out on the ads or something. I can't remember. There's a whole slew of stuff going on with that. And he ended up getting paid for it. Now he owes the money back. So, yeah.
Do you want to welch off our government system? I'm Brett Favre. I don't like it.
Yeah, but they're paying me.
One more thing to cover real quick. I've been seeing a couple rumors pop up around line that Allen Robinson might be on the trade block, with him having a 1-year deal here. What do we think Allen Robinson, like, he's probably not going to return to the Bears based off the franchise tag.
Yeah. Well, so the Bears could franchise him one more time this offseason, but I do think it's probably in both parties' best interest to, I mean, I guess trade him. You're not going to be able to find another receiver to come in the draft and replace his production, but over the last couple of years, I felt like Allen Robinson has been extremely unhappy there in Chicago.
Extremely underrated, putting up numbers no matter who's his quarterback, honestly.
Yeah.
Until this moment, yeah. So, we'll see. Any possible destinations you can think of to be a good fit before we move on?
It's a passing league, I say anywhere.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Adding Air Rob to any offense would be a blessing.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's jump right into trivia with the substitute. Hey. Teachers, class is in session.
You know, obviously, during the pandemic, there's been a ammunition shortage. And obviously, you know, driving to the studio every day, I've been having to, you know, search my trunk for, you know, bullets and stuff. But I searched the dark web. The blicky is full again. And I got a doozy of a question for you guys today.
All right. All right.
Mac Jones is on pace to break a rookie record this season. He is currently fourth in completion percentage through the first 7 weeks of the NFL season, completing 70% of his passes. He is on pace currently to break the completion record by a rookie quarterback. Who holds the record for completion percentage by a rookie quarterback? I'll ask it one more time.
Minimum games played?
No, don't hit me with that BS. Because I know there's probably a rookie wide receiver out there who probably took a reverse, threw a pass, and he's probably 100%.
No, I was thinking of Sam Bradford his first couple games. That's all.
No, this is a season though.
Okay, all right.
So I know it was a lot of stuff to kind of, you know, navigate through. So I'll just put it to you in different terms because, you know, little guy back there in the corner of the classroom, I totally understand. That's why we got you strapped down in the desk. So Mac Jones is on,
you know,
pace.
It's messed up. My teacher, when I was a kid, I didn't even realize that I was like, I got duct taped to my chair by my teacher when I was younger. Cause I was so
That's
hyperactive
a lawsuit these days.
Right. Right. I didn't realize that till I got older. I was like, damn, I was such a diabolical kid. I was just like, well played, Miss Susan. Well played.
She did what she had to do. She used her classroom resources for you. So again, Mac Jones. Mac Jones is on pace with a 70% completion percentage this year. He's fourth in the NFL. Who holds the rookie quarterback record for completion percentage? We'll go to you first, Brandon, and then we'll kick it to Woody last. What you got for me?
I wanted to say Baker Mayfield, but I'll go Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. That's a really good guess. That's a really, really good guess. And I like how you gave me two answers there, too. You definitely pulled the Woody, but it's all good.
You learn from the best. Give me the GOAT, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady. Mm. Okay. All right. Who holds the completion percentage record by a rookie quarterback? Both of you guys are wrong. It's not Baker Mayfield. It's not Tom Brady, and it is not, who else did you say, Brandon?
Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones. It is not Daniel Jones, although Daniel Jones is in the top five. The correct answer is the MVP favorite right now. Well, to some, Dak Prescott. Mm. In 2016, he completed 67.8% of his passes. Last year, Justin Herbert, his rookie year, he completed 66.6% of passes, which is actually more impressive because they threw the ball a lot downfield. And then at number three, this was a shocker to me, is Big Ben back in 04. He completed 66.4% of his passes.
Wasn't taking a lot of shots downfield that year. I remember his
rookie. Yeah, he was leaning on that defense for sure.
That's interesting. All right. Tom Brady wasn't up there? I thought he had like a 64 clip when he was a rookie.
Now he might be somewhere in the top 10, but you know, if you're in the top 10, you might as well be last.
Fair enough.
Or something like that.
If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, you can get help by visiting gamblingaddictioncenter.com. Addiction is a disease, and we here at the Five Tool Sports Podcast and Football Scout 365 want our listeners to know that everything we present on our show with regard to point spreads and betting, that is strictly for entertainment purposes only. So
everything in moderation, guys. All right, let's jump right in these games, guys. We got to get through these today. Not a ton because of the bye weeks, but the first game, Cincinnati Bengals coming off a huge win against the Baltimore Ravens in division, tied for first. They are 10.5 points giving them away to the struggling New York Jets, who did bring in veteran Joe Flacco, though.
Uh-oh. Look out.
Do we know if they're going to be starting White again, or are they going to be
Gage? He did get the start, I believe.
Okay.
He got the call. So
and he should get the call. I mean, I think I told you guys yesterday, I watched Mike White a little bit at Western Kentucky. He has an NFL arm. Obviously, he didn't play against top-tier competition, but coming in spot duty last week, going 20 of 32, one touchdown, two interceptions for a rookie who wasn't planning on playing, that's not bad. So, and actually, I don't know if he's a rookie. This might be his second year in the league, but he's a young guy.
Yeah.
But the Jets did show life when Mike White came in. They were moving the ball down the field, and he threw a red zone interception, I believe. That's...
Given the circumstances, I mean, yeah, 54-13 was a beatdown last week to New England. It's not a lot to say about this game. I mean, look, the spread is 10.5. I think Cincinnati, look, they're riding momentum, and the Jets are just bad. I got Cincinnati in this one.
Yeah, you know, fresh off their destruction of the Baltimore Ravens, which, you know, doesn't really compute to think the Bengals did what they did. And now they look like a legitimate, you know, playoff contender, division winner, all that good stuff. But to move on from this game, I was leaning Jets a little bit, maybe a letdown or they come back down to earth this week and this high of a number at 10.5. But I'm going to switch that here and I'm going to go Bengals.
I like it.
I'm actually taking the Jets here. I think they're going to muck it up, run the ball. I think it's going to be a bit of a messy game. After Bengals have had two big games in a row, this is where you see a young team maybe sputter a little bit. That's a big spread. I think that the Jets will keep it within 7 points here.
Okay.
All right, let's look at the Tennessee Titans and Indianapolis Colts, one of our most important games of the weekend because it is the battle for the division. The Colts, they're starting to liven up a little bit. Two-game win streak. Jonathan Taylor's on a tear. Three big games in a row. And Carson Wentz starting to look better each week. He had some bad throws last week, but he got it done. He put the ball in the end zone, took some shots downfield, even ran for a touchdown. Starting to take over and lead that offense. And the Colts need this game more than the Titans. They're two up on the Titans are two up on the Colts, excuse me. And this will put the Colts within one game and give them the lead in the tiebreaker when it comes down to the end of the season. And this division is, this is how a team's going to the playoffs. There's no wild card. So whoever wins this division, that's how they're going to get into the playoffs. So this is big. And who do y'all got in this game?
I agree with you 100% there. This division isn't getting two teams in. So you have to win the division here. I mean, you know, I think this is a toss-up game. I think the Indianapolis Colts are a little bit better than their record suggests. And I don't think the Tennessee Titans are quite as good as their record suggests. And the difference to me here is Indianapolis, they do have some injury issues in their secondary on the outside. So that worries me a lot for them. And then also they have some injury issues on the offensive side of the ball. Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor, I expect both of them to play, but they are on the injury report and they're listed as questionable. So with all that said, I'm going Tennessee Titans here. But I actually had the Colts for a while and then I flipped. So I'm going to go Tennessee Titans here.
It doesn't make sense to me that the Colts are getting points here. Like the Titans have been on a tear. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, both teams, they come into this game with momentum. Obviously, the Titans have a lot of momentum. They've beaten the Bills and the Chiefs in back-to-back games. The Titans offense found itself again, and their defense, it's playing better. The Titans are really starting to get the momentum here. But a couple things to point out real quick before we move on. Both teams, they're dead even at covering the spread this season at 71%. The line has been at or near a pick'em basically for both teams since the start of this week. The Colts currently have plus 400 odds to actually win the AFC South. So touching on what you just said, if you wanted to take a shot at that, you could. A win on Sunday obviously be a massive step in that direction. But I'm going to go Titans, make it easy. They're going to continue to keep their momentum going forward.
Well, the Titans tend to go as Derrick Henry goes. And Derrick Henry doesn't get stopped by many defenses, but he does play into the Colts' strengths here. They have, of course, Buckner and Leonard up the middle. I think that that's going to help immensely. I think Darius Leonard is the best linebacker in the NFL right now. I think the Colts win this one straight up. So if they win, I think they got this. It's only a 1.5 spread. I'm going to go with the Colts on Sunday.
Nice.
Moving on, the next game, Los Angeles Rams at Houston Texans. Man, the Texans are just getting brutalized facing top offense after top offense. Tyrod Taylor may be back this week. That we did see him put up some numbers against a not a bad Chicago Bears defense. Well, maybe happened last week. But does Tyrod Taylor make a difference here? I don't think.
I think so, actually.
Yeah, I think he moves the needle. I mean, look, Davis Mills as a rookie, he hasn't played terrible. He's played decent. I don't want to say good. I don't even want to say above average because his last couple of performances have not.
He had two impressive. Good games, and we were like, what? And then nothing.
I think Tyrod Taylor being back will actually help the run game because teams respect Tyrod Taylor as a quarterback, right? And I think you won't be able to load the box. And Houston, they haven't been able to run the ball all year. And that's the reason that they're getting throttled every single week. Because if you're a bad team, the least you could be able to do is run the ball and not make the scores bad, right? Control the clock a little bit. But, man.
We have seen the Rams play down to competition so far.
We have. But that changes this week. I feel as though that really changes this week. I'm taking the Rams. I'm taking the Rams to cover.
I'm taking the Rams, too. This is a historically bad Houston Texans team. They're just getting destroyed right now.
They're averaging 4 points in their last two games played.
Look, the Texans have lost each of their last 18 games when the line is set against them at more than 7 points. So, with that being said, I'll go Rams.
Pittsburgh Steelers at Cleveland Browns. Pittsburgh coming off a bye, giving Mike Tomlin a bye week. A little freshness there. Maybe got Big Ben a little healthier, who's been playing absolutely terrible, who's been banged up all season. And he looks cooked. But the Cleveland Browns are getting 3.5 points here. Now, one thing I will say. Cleveland, they have Nick Chubb coming back, obviously. Ernest Johnson looked great last week. But they have struggled throwing the ball through the air. And one thing Pittsburgh can do is stop the run. So, I mean, with me here, I'm going the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're going to cover. I think this is a field goal game, and I think that half a point is what decided it for me.
Well, yeah. I believe Baker hasn't been fully ruled out yet. I mean, dude's out there trying to practice right now.
I know. If Case Keenum was playing, I would actually pick the Browns here.
Damn.
Yeah.
The difference is I don't think Case Keenum is going to try to make some of those hero throws that Baker Mayfield would try to make. So he wouldn't turn the ball over as much because that's how Pittsburgh swings games. They get those big turnovers.
Whew. I mean, this is a battle to stay out of last place, I guess.
Which is crazy. That's crazy to even have to, process that.
Yeah, I think both teams are going to try to run the football, obviously. I do believe, though, the Steelers might try to push the ball a little bit down the field, something that they don't do a lot of.
Well, that's what most of the success that Ben's had with Deontay Johnson this season is taking shots downfield to him.
Yeah,
that's really the only passing success they've had.
He's actually not that bad. He actually has actually has a higher percentage of yards on throws of 20 plus yards down the field than even Patrick Mahomes. I'm doing some research, putting some stuff together, and we'll talk about that maybe next week. I didn't have time to finish it, but just going through that, I was completely surprised by that. So I don't know. This game's tough. If Baker were there and healthy, I'd feel better about the Browns. I do think the Browns can still find a way to run the ball. They can scheme it up, two tight ends, a lot of gaps, all that good stuff. But I'm still going to go. I'm going to go Steelers here. They need it really, really bad. And
both teams do.
Yeah, I'm going to go Steelers here as well. I've said it. I think the Cleveland Browns has probably been one of the biggest disappointments this year outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, and then one really good thing we can say about what they can do is obviously they can run the ball well, but we thought that defense would be really, really good. And they haven't really been really, really good. They've actually been really bad the last 3 weeks. Now, they played good enough to beat the Denver Broncos at home last week. But before that, that defense gave up 37 points to Arizona and gave up 47 points to the Los Angeles Chargers. So I'm a little concerned there. Again, Steelers right at home.
Philly Eagles at the Detroit Lions. Lions are getting 3.5 in this one. And I'm going to start it off bold. I'm taking the Lions money line here. I think this will be the only victory for the Detroit Lions this season.
Yeah, with this particular matchup, what I'm interested to see is the Detroit running backs versus the Philadelphia Eagles linebackers.
That's what did it for me.
You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, they have a very subpar linebacking corps. Brandon pulled a stat last week, I believe, and he said the Eagles are one of the best against one of the best pass rush teams, but then one of the worst teams against the run. So that's a bit concerning. I do think Detroit will be able to move the ball. They like to throw it to their backs a lot, so that's why I'm really looking at the matchup between the Detroit running backs and the Philadelphia linebackers. I mean, I don't know. At the end of the day, I'm not even ready to choose yet. You know what? Give me Detroit. I got Detroit covering the spread.
Joining with me on the Detroit.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Same thing. I feel like they've been close, or they've had opportunities to knock teams off. Remember the Baltimore game? You know, that they should have won that game, obviously. So I'm going to go Lions. I'm not really going to talk too much about it.
Yep, there's not much to talk about. San Francisco 49ers, Chicago Bears. The Bears are getting 4 points in this one, coming off a bad loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. An absolute beatdown. But San Francisco 49ers have not looked good so far.
Nope.
I'm going to let y'all lead this one off. I'm still a little bit on the fence. Who do you got in this game, guys? San Fran, Chicago Bears?
So, I mean, I don't think as much to say here. Other than the coaching staff, they're not doing Justin Fields any justice. Unfortunately, they were a better offense with Andy Dalton back there. And it's not because of talent. It's because of just incompetent coaching. I don't trust that coaching staff. Justin Fields has not looked good. I don't think they're putting him in the best position to be successful. And then on the other side of that, you got Kyle Shanahan. I don't think Kyle Shanahan's going to lose this game. Jimmy G's the better quarterback right now. Defenses are probably about the same. San Fran has a better offense. Give me the Niners here.
Yeah, I think, Tom Brady and the Bucks, they just wrecked the Bears, obviously. I feel like this could be an opportunity for them to take advantage. Their defense isn't, you know, awful. They can play much better than what they look like against Tampa Bay, but a lot of that has to do with the offense being bad and putting the defense in bad spots. So I'm going to still go 49ers. I think they're going to be able to find a way to run the football. I like, you know, Jimmy G in this game, and Shanahan may try to kidnap Justin Fields on his way back. I don't know. We'll see.
So Brandon, I see the stat that you put in there with the 49ers, who have failed to cover in 9 of their last 10 games. And that says a lot to me. Yeah. Especially with how bad Jimmy G's been looking lately, going up against pass rusher like Khalil Mack.
I think Mack might be out. That's something to keep an eye on. I can't remember what it was. Now, that is a call out. I just remember something had popped up, I think, yesterday evening. Might have been earlier than that, but keep an eye on that. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll move on.
Looking right now.
He is doubtful.
Yeah. For Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. So that does speak. But here's the thing. These are two teams that aren't the smoothest on offense. I think there are turnovers to be had. Jimmy G doesn't do great against tough fronts. I think this is a field goal game. I feel crazy for doing this, especially with how bad they looked last week. But I think the Chicago Bears cover here because this is a field goal game. So I'm going to go with the Chicago Bears.
I don't hate it. I mean,
I don't hate it. I don't love it, though. That's for sure.
That's fair.
Carolina Panthers at Atlanta Falcons. So the Atlanta Falcons, they've been a little bit of not a tear, but they've been competitive last couple weeks against bad teams. Carolina Panthers defense is banged up. The emergence of Kyle Pitts, no Shaq Thompson, a no horn. This is a game, Atlanta. It's hard to picture them covering, but is this a get right game for Carolina? I mean, Sammy D got benched last week.
So the Atlanta Falcons, they've won 3 out of their last 4 games, with their lone loss coming to the Washington football team, which was last second. That's a game that they should have won. So the Falcons have been, to your point, Woody, on a bit of a tear.
Against bad teams.
Against bad teams. I mean, they beat the Dolphins, the Jets, the Giants. So
yeah, but then the Panthers struggle against bad teams all of a sudden too. So
yeah, but those bad teams have had good pass rushes at least, and that's not something Atlanta has.
I mean, look, I think it's safe to say that the Panthers are pretenders. They started 3-0. They've dropped 4 straight. It's just not a lot of hope in Carolina, especially after losing to the Giants last week. Personally, I would like to think that defense can carry them to a win here, but I'm skeptical. And therefore, I think the Falcons cover. I think the Falcons cover.
This is a game Carolina, I wouldn't bet on, for sure. We're picking it because we have to, but I'm not.
Carolina has struggled since CMC's been out, and we talked about that on Tuesday, I think. But yeah, give me the Falcons in this one too. So everybody's Falcons, right? Because I'm entering these in right now.
Yep.
All right.
Here we go.
It's
go with your heart.
I'm here, man. I swear. with Sammy D, I just feel like he's gonna bounce back after last week. It was just a horrible.
What'd you say about Ray Rice?
I just feel this is a. It was just such a horrible, horrible. I think they're gonna scheme him open, some easy throws here, try to get some confidence back in him because they don't have Deshaun Watson coming in to save the day. Give me the Carolina Panthers here getting points just because I think that they are a better team overall.
Is this Robbie Anderson's get right game? Is this it?
That's what I'm thinking.
No, I don't think so, because we've heard that it's been a little dissension between Matt Rhule and offensive coordinator Joe Brady. We don't quite know why. We know that Matt Rhule doesn't see the offense how he wanted to. So maybe we come into this game and maybe we see Carolina with a different game plan. Maybe we see them pound the rock a little more. I'm not sure. Maybe Matt Rhule really believes in that defense and is like, hey, let's play conservative ball and let's trust our defense. And hey, Sammy D, stop turning over the damn football.
Hey, look, I'll tell you this. Both of them are probably lobbying for the LSU job together. And I don't know, man. Honestly, I feel like the Panthers should be playing a lot better than what they are. I mean, they started out, like I said, really hot. CMC gets hurt. Really, the second half of that Houston game, they weren't that great. And coming out of that game, they haven't really been the same. So I'm going to go. Yeah, obviously I went Falcons. We're still talking about this game. Why are we still here?
Yeah, right. Miami Dolphins, Buffalo Bills. The Bills are giving away 14 points to the Dolphins in this one, who have looked strong in their past couple games on offense. But the Bills' defense has been cream of the crop in the league. We're not going to spend too much time talking about this one. Who y'all picking?
I mean, look, Buffalo, they've pitched 2 shutouts this year. That defense looks good, with the exception of last week against Tennessee. I mean, one of their shutouts was against the Miami Dolphins. I'm going the Bills here. I think they cover.
All right. I like it.
Since Tua's been back, though, I feel like the Dolphins have been a little bit better. They're not phenomenal by any stretch of the imagination. Their defense has not been anything that, you know, we've been used to seeing.
I'm about to flip you, Brandon. Watch this. All right. What does Buffalo run a lot on defense? Run a lot of too high, zone. Right?
Yeah.
A lot of too high. High shell. Okay. What's the best thing to do against too high? Just run the ball, right?
Yeah, you can.
Can Miami run the ball?
Not so far.
I'm still going. It's minus 14. Buffalo schedule. You brought it up. Their schedule hasn't been that tough. So,
but this is Miami. This is what good teams do. It's a division opponent. This is what good teams do, though. After coming off a close loss like that, against the Tennessee Titans. They come back against a bad team, and a good team crushes a bad team. I'm going to the Buffalo.
Yeah. Bills. Hey, look, the Bills also rank first in turnovers, so they're getting nearly three per game. I mean, the Dolphins turn it over themselves, so it's kind of like the ingredients for this game to be a two possession game like this or minus 14. But I can't go that many games again, and with this high of a spread. So I'm going to go Dolphins here just because it's a divisional game.
Last thing I'm going to say. Now, when the Bills blew the Dolphins out in week two, Josh Allen didn't have a great game either.
Didn't have a great game. New England Patriots, Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are giving the Patriots 6 points in this one. And we have seen a different Patriots offense the past couple weeks. They've looked a lot better. Mac Jones seems to be coming into his own completion percentage-wise, as CJ told us with the trivia question. And my biggest thing here is that the Patriots are running the hell out of the football the last two games. And as we've seen in the past few weeks, the Los Angeles Chargers' biggest struggle is stopping running the football. And what does Bill Belichick make you do? He looks at the weakest part of your defense and makes you perform against it over and over and over again. Pick up Brandon Bolden. Pick up Ramondre Stevenson. Pick up J.J. Taylor. Pick up Damian Harris, because the Patriots, I think this is going to be a field goal game, but I that's why I'm going with the New England Patriots to cover here.
Yeah, I don't think the Patriots cover. I like the Chargers. I think that offense is going to play lights out. I saw a stat just a couple of weeks ago. The Patriots really struggle on the outsides of their defense. I know they got J.C. Jackson. He was a big up-and-coming corner. Saw a stat, Dak Prescott against the New England Patriots defense was like 20 of 28 for 260-something yards and two touchdowns outside the numbers. Now, the week before they played Dallas, they played against Houston Texans, and they let some guy named Chris Moore go for over 100 yards, you know, an outside receiver. So with all that being said, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen on the offensive side of the ball, I get what you're saying, Woody, about the Patriots being able to run the ball, and that is key for them. If they can run the ball, keep that offense off the field, they got a chance. However, they've been running the ball really well against teams that aren't that great against the run. So,
are the Chargers great against the run?
No, they are not.
No, they're the worst.
That's something to think about.
But consider this.
I hear what you're saying, though. I'm picturing Mike Williams against their corners on the outside right now, and it's not looking pretty in my head. So
I would consider to be in favor. I favor the Patriots myself in this game, and especially with this number being at minus six here in favor of the Chargers. Ravens proved, you know, that you can attack the Chargers in the run game. You can possess the football, play keep away from that offense. I think the Patriots are just going to do the same thing. And the Patriots are very similar. They'll run a lot of two tight end formations. They'll get you in a phone booth. They'll try to hit you a ton. But again, on the other side, I think the Patriots need to be real cognizant of Austin Ekeler and his ability to do more than just run the football. And that's a huge opportunity for the Chargers to really take advantage of him, not just as a runner, but as a receiver in this particular game. But I'm still going Patriots. They'll keep it within that minus six.
All right. Next game, we're looking at Jacksonville Jaguars, Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks are giving away 3.5 points here against the Jaguars. Seahawks have not looked good, guys, and Jacksonville's defense has played a little better the last few weeks. Do we dare say that Trevor Lawrence gets his second NFL win here?
It's a really good chance. It's a really, really good chance. I mean, look, the Seattle defense has been great this season. It did look pretty good last week against New Orleans. I didn't hate what I saw. The biggest thing for me is obviously you got a rookie quarterback going to Seattle. 12th man, he's not going to be able to hear, might see some silent snap counts and et cetera. So it's tough because Russ isn't cooking and you got Geno Smith in there. I think Jacksonville, I don't think they go in there and win, but I think
that extra half point, they got us this Monday night. They're giving that extra half point because they know this is a field goal game of two bad teams. They did it with us with New Orleans. They're doing it to us again here at Jacksonville. I'm not taking the bait this time. Jacksonville, by a field goal.
Yeah, I'm going Jags in this game. Trevor Lawrence, he's going to go in there. They're going to – I feel like they could really actually win this by double digits. I just don't feel confident about the Seahawks situation right now at all. I'm going Jaguars in this one. Yeah.
Washington football team and Denver Broncos. The Broncos are giving away 3.5 here. They've been on a little bit of a struggle here. Teddy Bridgewater's been banged up, but reinforcements are on the way. Jerry Jeudy is returning from a high ankle sprain, and that does a lot for the middle of the field of this offense. And if you remember that first game, Jerry Jeudy was looking like he was dominating. He looked like the best player on the field that first game. So this is big. This could open up things for Cortland Sutton on the outside. When a player like Jerry Jeudy returns to lineup, I think it has a very positive effect. And I think Washington football team, they played a lot better last week against the Packers than the score indicated. I'm really torn on this one, guys. So I honestly don't know who I'm going to pick yet.
This one, I mean, it's just as intriguing as the last one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's Washington football team, their secondary has always been the point of discussion, but we did see what Cleveland was able to do to Denver with a pass rush, getting after Teddy B in that game. I feel like this is kind of a get right game for the pass rush to really protect the secondary in this game. I'm going Washington football team because of that.
What up? I mean, look, I'm going Denver just because they're playing at home. They've lost 4 straight. They have to get back in the win column. I think this is a good week to do it. These are 2 bad teams here. I mean, their only wins this season have all been against subpar teams. So this is a subpar matchup. But guess what? Broncos, 3.5 point favorites at home, thin air, you know, the elevation. I really want to pick Washington football team. I think they are a better team slightly, but again, Denver playing at home, that's a difference maker in my opinion.
I like that one too. Denver at home, Mile High, give me that one as well.
Nice.
Next game we're going on to will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints divisional matchup. Famous Jameis revenge game. The Bucs are 5.5 point favorites, even though the New Orleans Saints are 4-2, winning ugly.
That's large. That's a very, very large spread.
Especially for a division game.
Division game, New Orleans coming off a win. This is the same team that beat Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers led Green Bay Packers, 38-3 in week one? Mm-hmm. I think they're really starting to find their footing a little more. I think that Saints defense can really put some pressure on Tom Brady. And in recent weeks, we've seen Tampa Bay get better running the ball. I think they struggle here. And I think New Orleans cover.
Nice. I like that.
I actually think New Orleans is going to cover here, too. I was hoping y'all were going to smash the Tom Brady button here.
I haven't got there yet, but I will tell you this. The Saints, they don't have the offense, and the Bucs will likely do whatever they can to stop Alvin Kamara. And they're going to try to force Jameis to be the one to win this game if the Saints are going to win this game. So putting it on Jameis's shoulders versus Tom's shoulders, Brady, obviously you're going to take him. Regardless of which player is being pressured more, you're going to take Tom Brady in that matchup. But Jameis will give him a fighting chance. I still think Tampa covers. So there you go.
I think that New Orleans offense, I think they're going to be successful on a couple of it. Deep passes, some big shots down the field. We know Jameis can really swing it. Traquan Smith is back. And, I mean, the Bucs secondary has dealt with injury all season, and that was kind of a thing for me, too. So you're 100% right, Brandon. I agree. Tom Brady, Jameis Winston, give me Tom Brady every day of the week. But it's just other variables there. And, look, I think the Bucs will win. I just think I think New Orleans – division matchup, I think they cover. For sure.
Playing tough. Sean Payton, I think he overlooked last week's game. That's why the offense was so bare, because he's looking towards this one.
Yeah.
And a coach like Sean Payton knows the questions to ask Jameis, being from that offense, to know where the pressure points are. Although it is a different offense with Tom Brady, it's still the bare bones. Dallas Cowboys, Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are getting 2.5 points here. The Vikings have played strong the past few weeks. Kirk coming off the best throw of his game-winning career, probably maybe rivaled with that Kyle Rudolph one in the playoffs. But it was an impressive throw to win the game. He led the Vikings back down the field to get that dub against the Carolina Panthers in overtime. But as we know, the Carolina Panthers have not been playing well the past few weeks. Dallas Cowboys have been on an absolute tear. This is a tough one, guys. I think the better quarterback theory that me and CJ lean on a lot comes into play here. I think Dallas is the better quarterback. I'm going to take Dallas to cover this one because I think it, as a lot of Minnesota's games have been this year, I think it comes down to a field goal.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. I feel like this is a good game for the Cowboys to run the ball. Even better game for Minnesota to throw the football. It'll come down to how aggressive Minnesota will be throwing the football. They've been kind of conservative in that regard. They only really open it up when they need to. So if they come out there and they're tentative, they're not throwing the football on early downs to open up the run game on later downs, just being more aggressive, then they're going to get beat. I feel like they could be beat by double digits. They haven't really, I mean, five of the Vikings' last six games have been decided by one score. You know, three of those games by 3 points or less. So we have to consider that. In the game against the Panthers, the Vikings struggled to close that one out, if you guys remember, against a team that just got dominated by the Giants a week ago. So I'm going Cowboys.
Same for every reason that Brandon stated. I mean, look, Minnesota, they've won two straight, but they struggled in both games. You barely beat Panthers. We've already discussed it. They're not a good team. And then they barely squeak past the Detroit Lions, which they're on 7 right now. Minnesota, they have a top 10 rushing offense. The weak point in that Dallas defense is up the middle. It is, you can run against the Dallas Cowboys. However, if it gets into a shootout, to Woody's point, to Brandon's point, Dak Prescott, the Dallas Cowboy offense, it's just going to be hard to keep up with. Minnesota wins this game if they lean on Dalvin Cook and they have success in the run game. Any other scenario, the Vikings lose. I got the Cowboys covering in this one.
Now, there is concern here and to follow. They're not clearing Dak Prescott yet, and they're saying he has to reach a plateau of comfort to be able to play in this game. I believe he ends up playing, but I'm not a doctor. Do you think that's a concern here?
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, look, Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, all those guys, they've been, I feel like because it's the Dallas Cowboys, it's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, we're all over this. But just like what is shoulder injury during the preseason, come to find out it was nothing because he's been playing lights out. I mean, hey, the calf strain, he had a bye week. We saw Jimmy G come back from the same injury. I think Dak will be okay. Everyone in the Cowboys organization is saying, well, you know, we feel comfortable with Dak. So even though he hasn't been, I guess slated as being okay and guaranteeing that he's going to start, I think they're just being smart about it. But everything points to optimism towards him playing Sunday.
Yeah. For sure. If he's not playing, then that changes everything.
It does.
That changes everything.
But he's gonna play. I would. Yeah, I'll bet my onions on it.
Yeah, I think in player interviews, players were saying it looks like the same Dak to me as what they were saying I think yesterday. So we'll see.
New York Giants at Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs coming off a bad loss to the Tennessee Titans. New York Giants coming off a good win against the Carolina Panthers. The pass rush looks strong. Kansas City's offensive line has been playing like crap. I don't know where to go on this one, man. I want to think in my head, this is get-right game for Kansas City.
Yeah, we've been saying that for multiple weeks.
Exactly. Right? I mean, they did it against Washington.
Yeah, well, a lot of teams are having success.
They crushed the Eagles, too. They have good track record against the NFC East. And here's the thing, looking at the Chiefs' schedule of winnable games, this is probably the last easiest game they have on their schedule.
It's trending towards Saquon Barkley not playing in this one. I know we've been waiting forever. I don't know what's going on. Kadarius Toney as well, maybe not going to make it this week again. So if those two guys were out there, even at -9.5 without those guys and what the Giants are able to do, Daniel Jones is more than capable of keeping this game close. I still think Kansas City wins it. I'm going to go with the Giants in this game. I think that, again, the defense, we talked about it on Tuesday. For anybody who wants to go listen to that, we covered it in more detail, what we thought about the Chiefs defense. So, and their struggles and Mahomes, in addition to everything else. I mean, yeah.
This game is in Arrowhead. Patrick Mahomes has work to do. I just, when a great player gets put against the wall like this, usually they respond with greatness. I think Kansas City blows them out.
Word up. I disagree with you. I agree with Brandon, however. The Kansas City Chiefs, they're last in the NFL in sacks with just 8 for the season. They're also ranked 29th in both yards allowed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're giving up 404 yards per game.
Chris Jones is back in this one.
And that, feels that's like a cool.
Daniel Jones 40-point fantasy week.
Yeah, I mean, look, that defense is awful for Kansas City, and it's even worse than what it's been the last 2 or 3 years. I'm taking the Giants to cover here. They might even go in there and win. You know, it kind of pains me to say that because, I mean, I like Patrick Mahomes. I like Andy Reid. You know, I like what the Chiefs have done over the past few years. But right now, man, they're in purgatory right now, and they got to get out of it. And
yeah.
I mean, I think they get the win this week, but I think Giants definitely make it a game.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, guys, lock them in. Those are our Week 8 NFL picks against the spread. As always, thank you for tuning in, listening to our Thursday Night Football preview. Make sure to check that out next week if you didn't. We put it up middle of the day so you can listen to it on the ride home, going home to watch some football, going to the bar. As always, check out Brandon's site, Football Scout 365. He's doing a lot of draft coverage, getting it going for next year. And check us out at the number 5toolsportspodcast.com. And we need to hear some music. Brighten up this day. We out.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.